Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Naso, the longest Parsha in the Torah, we have five Divrei Torah. The Parsha covers a number of issues, starting off with the responsibility of various Levi families, has the responsibilities in the Mishkan, talks about not stealing from a Jew, not from a Ger, talking about Sota, when a husband suspects his wife has not been loyal to him, the Nazir, who takes on an oath in order to raise the level of Kedusha in his or her life, Birkas Kohanim, the bracha that the Kohanim, or brachas that the Kohanim give to Klal Yisrael. We also talked about sanctification of the Mishkan, the initial sanctification on the first of Nisan, and all the korbanos given by the Nisim, which looks like a repetition, but there are a lot of important lessons to learn from that. We are going to start off towards the beginning of the Parsha, Perek Hei, Pasuk Yud, and there's a discussion there of not stealing, and then in that context, there's a mention that you have to give truma to the Kohanim, so there's an important lesson here that we own certain things, we don't own certain things. Don't take things that are not yours, including even when things you view as yours, like the produce you grow from your field, part of it has to be given over as truma, as a tithe, to the Kohanim. And the Pasuk in that context says as follows, V'ish es kedosha v'hiyu, Isha Shayitan the coin lo yeh. It's a very famous pasuk, famous drush on the pasuk. It comes up in various places that a man, when he has his holies, you, it should be his holies. Isha Shayitan the coin lo yeh, and what you give to the coin shall be his. And it doesn't say when it says lo, it should be his. The pashtus, the simple understanding is once you give it to the Kohen, it is the Kohen's. But truth be told, that pronoun lamed vav, it should be his. It doesn't necessarily refer to the Kohen. So that's question number one, is what is going on here, that once you give truma and you give various other holies to other people, that it is his. Who are we talking about? And in addition, why is this talked about in the context of gezel at all, stealing, not stealing, that we have these statements about truma and giving away somebody's assets? So it goes as follows. Typically, people believe that when they have money, the money in their account, the money that they have in their wallet, the assets that they have in their name, that is what they own. That is theirs. However, money that they would give away for other purposes, you give away tzedakah, you give away truma at the time that truma was given to the Kohanim, that is no longer yours. That has been given away. That asset is now in the possession of somebody else's, and it no longer adds to your wealth and no longer increases to your benefit. It is somebody else's. But truth be told, the Torah teaches us that it is the exact opposite. The exact opposite, that the money that you give away for holy purposes, that's ish es kedoshav, those assets that you give for tzedakah, you give to the Kohen for truma, you give to Talmidei Chachami to support them, the money that you give to the institutions, that is kedoshav, that is holy money, asher yitan, the Kohen that is given to somebody who is a Kohen, that is somebody who has of that status, lo yihyeh, those are the assets that are yours. The lamed vav doesn't necessarily refer to the recipient, but rather the person who gives those quote-unquote assets away. Those are the only assets that we are in fact keeping. When we use our money for a proper purpose and we give it for a holy purpose, lo yihyeh, that is the money that you can take with you in the world to come. And even in this world, those are the mitzvahs that you have because you gave it for proper purposes, but rather the money that you have in your bank account that you didn't give away, as we always say, as we're always told, you can't take it with you. That is the money that is really not yours. And that's why in the context of talking about gezel, that we have to respect that certain assets are ours, certain assets are not. Don't take assets that aren't yours. And we're learning here that, in fact, despite the fact that we commonly reverse these concepts and these values, thinking that the money that is in our accounts, that's ours. If it's not in our account and not ours, we're being taught here the exact opposite. What you give to the Kohanim, that is really yours. What you give for tzedakah, that's really yours. But the assets that you don't do a positive thing with them, that's not really considered yours. And the same thing, certainly, kol shekein, if somebody would take money from somebody else that you don't own, that you have no right to, that's gezel, certainly that is not considered your asset whatsoever. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 2. We are in Perek Vav, Pasuk Beis, talking about the Nazir. And this is somebody who takes on a vow and is going to separate himself from drinking wine and not not become tame, not cutting hair. So there's certain restrictions on the nazir, and the effect of that is to try to increase the kedusha, the overall holiness of that individual. So this is a vow that is taken, a neder that is taken by somebody, a minimum of 30 days, be it a man, be it a woman, as it says in our pasuk, ish o isha ki afli, talking about a man or a woman, ki afli li no neder, when they take on a neder. Now, what's this word, yafli? So if you look at the English, it says when they try to disassociate, or they do disassociate themselves, they separate themselves. The Ibn Ezra says something else. This is a word of pele. Pele means to do an amazing thing. Pele is miraculous. It's a pele. It's an amazing thing. And what he says here, says the Ibn Ezra, as typically people are involved in the taivas of this world, they are involved and enjoy and the food and the drink and the this and the that in this world. And it's very difficult to separate yourself from those hedonistic enjoyments of the world. But we have an individual here who takes on a commitment, a minimum of 30 days, a minimum of a chodesh, a minimum of a month. He takes upon himself to separate himself in certain ways. He's not going to drink wine, and he's not going to be metame himself and the like, and he's not going to ensure that he doesn't look beautified by cutting his hair. And this statement is, I am taking upon myself in order to be mekadesh, in order to raise my spirituality. I am separating myself from those quote-unquote enjoyments of the world. And says the Ibn Ezra, that is a pella, that is an amazing thing, a miraculous thing, that we have somebody who is really going against what his natural desires would be in order to sanctify himself. He takes on this neder, and that's why it's a complimentary word, ish or isha ki afli, he, she, or the man or the woman, when they do this amazing thing, they take on this neder. That is something that is unusual and should be highly respected, and it is something that everyone should strive for, not necessarily taking on the neder of the nazir, that we don't have anymore, but indeed to separate ourselves and to sanctify ourselves, each in his own way, in order for us to become better people. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3, and we're going to focus for a bit on the Birkas Kohani and the famous Psukim here. We're in Perek Vav, Pasuk Chav Gimel, and the Pasuk says, Daber el Aharon ve'el Banav le'mor, and you should speak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, speak to Aaron, and also speak to his sons. So we have one question here. Why does it say separately to speak to Aaron and also to his sons, and say as follows, when you're going to give Kosev Achuas Ben Yisrael, when you're going to give a bracha, when you do give the bracha to Klal Yisrael, this is how you're going to do it. And it says the Psukim, Yivarach Hashem v'yishmeracha, Yair Hashem banav elecha, etc., etc. And on that, the Ksav Sofer says, very interestingly, when you give the bracha to Klal Yisrael, very interesting concept here, that we have the Kohanim, and they're giving the bracha to the Tzibur, everyone in the shul, and we have the Aaron and his children, wherever in the Midbar, giving this bracha. It wasn't only for the benefit of the recipients of the bracha, but actually, this bracha was very much for the benefit of the Kohanim themselves. Why is that? As we mentioned before, the Truma, which is a portion of the produce that is grown by Klal Yisrael, that would be given to the Kohanim. So the bigger the bracha the Tzibur has, the bigger bracha, at least when it comes to financial issues, you should have a huge crop, you should have a financially wonderful year, that definitely is for the benefit of the Kohanim. They're effectively partners in the wealth that would be created via that bracha. And the message here to the Kohanim is, when you're giving this bracha, Emor Lam Tei, say to them, and this is what Rashi says, Bekavana Ubelev Shalom. You should have proper kavana and wholeheartedly. And the message is as follows, when you're giving the bracha to Klal Yisrael, it should not be for your own benefit. You shouldn't have ulterior motives in mind. It should simply be for the benefit of the recipients of the bracha, for the tova of Klal Yisrael, and don't have in mind yourselves that you are benefiting via this bracha. And that is what we are told here, Daber al Aaron velbanav, you should say to Aaron and Banav, when you say the bracha, it should be the Klal Yisrael, bekavana, as Rashi says, ubelev shalom. It's about them, it's not about you. And says the Ksav Sofer beautifully, that's why it says in the Pasuk, separately, Daber el Aharon, and also el Banav, separately. Why are we saying specifically Aharon here? In the Midbar, in the desert, at that point, there was no mitzvah of Truma, there weren't gifts that were given to the Kohanim at this point. It was in the Midbar, we're not in Eretz Yisrael, we're not growing fruit, there's not an agriculture that we're talking about, that a percentage would be given to the Kohanim. And just like Aharon, when he gave the bracha without any ulterior motives, because there could have been no ulterior motives. He wasn't getting anything at the time as a Kohen. It was 100% Belev Shalom. He wholeheartedly gave the bracha, only thinking about Klal Yisrael, not himself. The same thing applies for all future generations. Aber al Aaron ve'el Banav. In the future, when you go into Eretz Yisrael, and the Kohanim will be giving the bracha to Klal Yisrael as the recipients, it should be the same as Aharon in the Midbar. That when Aaron in the Midbar, it was wholeheartedly without thinking of himself, because there was nothing to receive. The same thing should be when the Banim, the children, the descendants of Aaron, give the bracha to Klal Yisrael, it should be wholeheartedly Belev Shalom without any ulterior motives. Obviously, we can learn from that when we do good for others. We should be doing it Belev Shalom. We should be doing it because we want to benefit the recipient. We want to enable them to have success. We want to enable them to have happiness. And we want to assist in any way, but it should be about them, not about us. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4, one of the brachas that is given in those psukim by the Kohanim, Yisrael Hashem Panav Eilecha, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu should give you favor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you favor. There is a medrash on this, and we'll read it inside. Sha'alu Malachei Asharis Livnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the angels, this is actually brought in the Gemara Brachas as well. The angels say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yisa Hashem Panav Eilecha, the Pasuk says that Hashem is going to show favoritism to Klal Yisrael. Why are you showing favoritism to Klal Yisrael? But doesn't it say in the Pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yisa panim, that he doesn't show favorites? It says you don't just show favorites, and here it says you're going to show favorites to Klal Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers back, how can I not show favoritism to Klal Yisrael? Ech lo esalem panim. How can I not? Why? Because Klal Yisrael, they go the extra mile. For example, it says in the Pasuk, when it comes to Birkas HaMazon, V'chalta V'savatu V'rachtu, who is obligated to do Birkas HaMazon when you become satiated? So you have to eat a significant amount. V'chalta, you ate, V'savata, you saveya, you were satisfied with. That's not a little food, that's a good amount of food. V'rachtu, and that's when you have the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon. In Klal Yisrael, they do more than that. Hem medaktikin alatzim, they're even stricter. Ad kezayis, ad kebesa. They're so strict that even for a kezayis, which is an olive size, and for a kebesa, which is an egg size, they say birkas hamazon. That seems to be what it's saying here. So the question, a famous question is, doesn't seem to make so much sense. We understand that Klal Yisrael, they're stricter about this halacha, birkas hamazon, but why does it say ad kezayis, ad kebetza? They're so strict that even for a kezayis, even for a kebetza, they say birkas hamazon. A kezayis is much smaller than a kebetza. A kebetza is about 3 times the size of a kezayis. That's an egg, is about 3 times the size of an olive. So if they're strict and they say birkas hamazon for a kezayis, an olive, certainly they're strict when it comes to kebetza. So why is the Gemara here, the Medrash here, saying for both, Klal Yisrael is strict both for a kezayis and a kebetza? So we're going to have to do a little bit math. I hope I can say this clearly. So the concept here is when it comes to a beitza and a kezayis, as mentioned before, a kebeitza is approximately 3 times the size of a kezayis. So if you have 3 kezayisim, 3 olives, that's going to be equal to 1 beitza, 1 egg. Now, in fact, the Zohar changes it a little bit. The Zohar is of the view that it's a little bit more, in the following sense that when it comes to the Zohar's computation, 3 beitzim is going to be equal to 10 zeisim. So 3 eggs is going to be equal to 10 olives. That's the computation of the Zohar. Okay, so the Rambam says as follows. Based on the Rambam Shiurim, when you have 3 eggs, that's equal to 1 seudah. That's a meal. The typical thing, when you eat a seudah, you're eating approximately 3 meals. So it goes as follows. Let's assume that we have 10 people eating. But the problem is they only have 1 meal, 1 seudah between them. So they're going to divide it between them. So when they divide that seudah, if it's 1 meal, that's equal to approximately 3 beitzim, which is 10 kezayisim. So if you have 10 people, and you're dividing only 1 meal between them, each person is going to get a kezayis. Each person is going to get a gazayah. So that's if you have 10 people dividing up that one meal. What happens if you have 3 people? And that's a minion to bench. And you can say, Elokeinu, when you say, Rabbi Sain of Rech, Elokeinu, Shachalni Mishalo. That's a minion of people being so strict about a meal and Birkas HaMazon. We want to have a minion together. But what happens if we only have 3 people? A mezumen. So when we have that one Sa'uda for all 3 of them, they're going to divide it up. And as we said, one Sa'uda is 3 Beitzim. So if you divide it up between the 3 of them, each one is going to get a Kebeitza. So it turns out that when we have one Sa'uda, 10 people divided up, each gets a Kezayis. When you have 3 people dividing up that one Sa'uda, each is going to get a Kebeitza. And that is what our Gemara, this is based on the Vilna Gaon, that is what our Gemara is saying, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, how can I not show favoritism to Klal Yisrael? The mitzvah is achalta v'savato v'racht. If you feel satisfied, you sat benching. But they're so strict even about a kezayis and even about a kebet. So what is that talking about? They're so strict. It depends how many people that they have that they're strict. If they have 10 people and each one is getting only one kezayis of that suuda, they're strict about a kezayis. And if they have 3 people dividing up that meal together, each one is going to get a kebetza. But either way, we see Klal Yisrael striving to make it work that they're going to have a mezumen, be it with 10 people dividing up that meal, they're going to have a mezumen by dividing up, each is going to get a kezayis, and 3 people dividing up that one meal, each is going to get a kebetza. But that's the beauty of Klal Yisrael, and how can I not show them favoritism that they're going through all of these gyrations in order to have a Mizumin. That is Dvar Torah number 4. Dvar Torah number 5 is the very next pasuk, also in the Birkas Kohanim. It says as follows, V'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael, you should place my name on Klal Yisrael. So we're going to read a medrash, that is the Kohanim placing the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu on Klal Yisrael, that's the Birkas Kohanim. So the Sifrei says as follows, Kohanim mevarachim b'mikdash, the Kohanim, they give the bracha, the Birkas Kohanim in the base of Mikdash, based on our pasuk. Shene'emar v'samu et shemi, you should place my name, that the name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yud-Hei and Vav-Hei, the Shem of Havaya, that is the name that is used in the base of Mikdash, Begvuli Minayin, and where do we have a source that even not in the base of Mikdash, outside of the base of Mikdash, and still nowadays, we have the Birkas Kohanim, we have another pasuk that says that Talmud Lomar, Lechol HaMakom Asher Azkir, et shemi, anywhere where I am, even if it's not in the base of Mikdash. The first pasuk, our pasuk, Kesam HaShemi Al-Bnei Yisrael, that's talking about in the base of Mikdash. But the second pasuk, Lechol HaMakom Asher Azkir, et shemi, wherever I am, Lechol HaMakom, that is where my name will be used in the base of Mikdash. So the Gra again, we're going to see from the Gra as follows, that when it came to the base of Mikdash, they used to use the Shem HaMefurash, that was the name that was used, as it is written, the Yud-Hei and the Vav-Hei, Shem Havaya, that is what was used in the Birkas Kohanim. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, that Shem HaMeforash is not used, but rather they would use the way we say it, Adnus, Ado, Ado Shem. That is how they use it, but they don't say the Shem HaMeforash of Shem Havaya. And in fact, what is going on, if we look at our pasuk, is as follows, V'samu et Shemi, the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that is put on that the Kohanim use in the Birkas HaMazon, the Birkas Kohanim, that it says V'samu et Shemi in the base of Mikdash, that is the real Shem Hashem. And then when it's outside of the base of Mikdash, where it says L'chol HaMakom Asher Azkir et Shemi, that is not the Shem Havaya, but Adnus, which is askir, which is a zikaron, which is remembering the name. And accordingly, says the Gra as follows beautifully. The first pasuk of Iksamu et Shemi is talking about in the base of Mikdash using the real name Hashem, and that is the Shmi, Iksamu et Shemi, the real name of Hashem. And outside of the base of Mikdash that we're using a different pasuk, it doesn't say Iksamu et Shemi, the name, but it says the Chol HaMakom Asher askir et Shemi. Askir is not the Shem HaMefurash, but rather Ad news, the way we say it in place of the Ad news, that is the Askir et Shemi, the Zikaron, the remembering of the same of Shem HaMefurash, but it is not the name itself. And accordingly, V'samu et Shemi al B'nei Yisrael, you should put the name on B'nei Yisrael, talking about the Shem HaMefurash in the base of Mikdash, and nowadays, and outside of the base of Mikdash, we don't use the Shem HaMefurash, but rather we use the Shem HaAdnus, that is Askir et Shemi. Thanks so much for listening.